Please open your Bibles to the book of John, the 16th chapter. John chapter 16 in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1138. Beginning with the 26th verse, we will read through the end of the chapter. The 27th verse is the text verse, verses 26 through verse 33. We'll read these verses responsively. And just after that, we will turn to one other verse of Scripture and read that as well. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. For the Father himself loveth you because he hath loved... I'm sorry, I'm starting on the wrong verse. You'll join me on the 27th verse after a bit. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because he hath loved me, and hath believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world again. I leave the world, and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Turn now to 1 John, the 4th chapter, page 1324 in your Scofield Bible. We'll read the 19th verse, page 1325. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. And let's read it, please. Ready? We love him because he first loved us. And let's pray. Father, what a wonderful, wonderful gift you've given in giving us thy word and through thy word, eternal life. And that's what our getting together today is all about. Without thy word, there is no preaching, no teaching, no knowledge of thee. Thank you for its preservation. Thank you for its preaching here in this place faithfully through 100 years of history. Thank you especially for today. Meet with us in a very special and powerful way, please, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, thou art our God, and we come this morning on your behalf. We come representing you, speaking for you, to thy people. Certainly thy people will want to hear, and I pray you'd give us attentive hearts to the message thou hast given thy poor messenger today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak this morning on the subject absorbing the love of God. Absorbing the love of God. God loves all of you. He loves you. If I've made one statement in the 28 years nearly that I've been pastor here, more than any other statement, it has been this one. I do not know any better news to tell you that God loves you. God loves you if you're wealthy. God loves you if you're poor. God loves you if you're educated, and God loves you if you're illiterate. God loves you if you have, and God loves you if you have not. God loves you if you're lovely. God loves you if you're unlovely. God loves you if you're loving. God loves you if you're unloving. God loves you if you're lovable. God loves you if you're not lovable. I say I have no better news to tell you than this. God loves you. The greatest words that will ever reach the ears of mortal people is simply the words, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I say God loves you. But now listen carefully. God does not love all of you the same. You say, you mean He's a partial God? Let me just go back to my statement. God loves all of you, but God does not love all of you the same. A while ago, Brother Colston led us in reading this line. For the Father Himself loveth you because He have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. It says here, the Father loves you because you love Him. Now in 1 John 4:19, that very famous passage that every child learns by the time he's 4 years old, it says that God loves us. Well, we love Him because He first loved us. Now, there seems to be some kind of contradiction there. In 1 John 4:19, it says, we love God because God first loved us. And then in our text this morning, in John 16:27, it says, God loves us because we love Him. There seems to be some kind of a contradiction. Let me explain the contradiction. There are two types of God's love. God's possessed love and God's expressed love. God's known love and God's shown love. God possesses as much love for any person as He does for any other person. There's no partiality when it comes to God possessing love. God has as much love for me as He has for you. And God has as much love for you as He has for me. But there's a second part of God's love, and that is God's shown love. You see, God loves in the sense that He possesses love. But God also loves in the sense that He expresses love. So I say, Brother Colston, I love you. That means, if I did, that means that I have love in my heart for you. But if I do something kind for you, which I will not, but if I do something kind for you, I'll say, Brother Colston said to the house, why did you do that? I'll say, I'm just loving you, Brother John, that's all. Now, a love is possessed, and a love is expressed. Now, the possession of love starts with God. We have love because God is love. But the expression of that love starts with us. God expresses His love to us, or He loves us in the sense of an active verb instead of a passive verb. God loves us in expressing that love according to our love for Him. So God does love some more than God loves others. Now, God has no more love for one than God has for another. Let me say it again. God has no more love for one than He has for another. But God does love some more than He loves others in the sense of the active verb, God loves, action verb, some more than God loves others. Now, whom does God love more than He loves others? Again, may I say, I do not mean He has more love for one. I mean He loves actively some more than He loves others. Now, whom does God love more than His others? In the first place, He loves those who absorb His love the most. He says, you accepted my greatest gift. That's Jesus Christ. And you accept Christ. So God loves you more than He would if you did not accept Jesus Christ. It does not mean that God has more love for you. It means that He shows more love for you and loves you actively more than someone that does not absorb His gift of eternal life. Illustration. God gets thanks from some people in this room. There are folk in this room who all week long, many times, have said, Lord, thank You so much for my health. Thank You so much for my church. Thank You so much for my country. Thank You so much for my food. Thank You so much for my clothing. Thank You so much for my salvation. Now, but there are other folks in this room who not said one time this week, thanks to God. Not one time. Now, God possesses as much love
for the thankless one as he does for the thankful one. But God does not express that love as much. And in the active sense of the verb love, God loves the one who expresses his gratitude more than God loves the one who does not express his gratitude. Illustration. Somebody praises God. Some people praise God. I come to God every day. I spend at least 15 minutes every day doing nothing but praising God. I mean saying, praise God, you're a wonderful God. Thank you and praise you for your goodness to me, for all you've done for me. Now, there's some people that have not one time since we met last week lifted your voice and praised your God. Now, God possesses as much love for the non-praiser as he does for the praiser. But God does not love in action the non-praiser, are you listening to me, the non-praiser as he does the praiser. You see, God expresses his love to you at your level. You decide how much God expresses his love to you. Well, let me illustrate. Here's a young man. I was in a certain church not long ago. And I was there with a young pastor. The church was pastored by a young man. And he said to me in the car, at the airport, he said, you waited to see my wife. And I said, why? He said, because I bought her a new dress. I said, did you pick it out yourself? He said, I picked it out myself. He said, you wait till you see her. She's going to wear it tonight. I saw her that night. She was about a size 4, wearing about a size 18. Remember those old shifts dresses that they used to wear years ago? It looked like either that or that she was expecting quintuplets, one or the other. But she wore it. And I saw her, and I said, understand, your husband bought you the dress. She walked over to me. The dress didn't move, but she walked over to me. And she said, yes, how do you like it? And I said, boy, that is a dress. And, she said, I'm so proud of it. My husband picked it out himself. I said, he did. It looked like one of his pick-out jobs. But I said, he did. She said, yeah. She said, he's so thoughtful, and he loves me, and I love him, and I'm so proud of this dress. She walked back away, and the dress didn't move again. And there was another young preacher there, and he said to me alone after it was over, he said, I wouldn't do that. I said, why? He said, I did it once. I said, what happened? He said, I came home. Why? I said, oh, that's not my size. That color doesn't look good on me. He said, as far as I'm concerned, she can wear a feed sack the rest of her life. He said, I did. Now, listen, I want to tell you something. That first gal that wore that big dress, she's going to have a good-looking wardrobe one of these days, because that guy's going to learn how to pick out dresses. One of these days, he's going to memorize her size. And he's going to learn to pick out dresses, and he's going to buy her. And now, look, the one guy loved his wife as much as the other. But the one guy bought his wife new dresses, and one of these days, I said again, he's going to learn how to do that. And she, one of these days, is going to have a nice, beautiful wardrobe. Why? Because she's learned to absorb the gifts that her husband gives her. And she's going to have to grow an awful lot to absorb it, but you got that before I did. But the other fellow, other woman, no. She'll never get another new dress from her husband. Why? Because she did not absorb it. Oh, it's not my color. Oh, it's not my size. I know. And you won't look not your dress anymore either. Now, that's what God is saying. God is saying, I want to love you. But he said, if you don't absorb that love, I will not express that love. I will love you and express that love on your level. Now, I will possess love for you on the level of deity, on my level, God says. But I will express that love to you on your own level. So God loves those who absorb his love the most. That means if you had simply learned to say, oh, you're a wonderful God, and thank you for your goodness, and praise you for how wonderful you are. You know, the Church of Jesus Christ needs a new baptism of praise, old-fashioned praise. This morning in our Sunday school lesson, it said that when they had the revival in the 8th chapter of Nehemiah, after the captivity, it said all the people lifted up their hands and said, amen, amen. Some of you folks that get a little put out because somebody besides you is always saying amen, why don't you join him then? I told you years ago about a fellow we had in Texas. He's a multimillionaire now. He was on his way then. Young businessman. We had another fellow in our church that was as poor as the other guy was, wealthy. And his name was L.C. L.C. had a speech impediment. And we used to have testimonies. Our church had an auditorium about the size of these two sections here. And somebody could stand and testify, and everybody could hear them. They could hear our crowd. So every time we'd have a testimony, L.C. would jump up first. And L.C., he had on a white coat that was last cleaned in 1884. And he had on a tie that had egg on it that George Washington dropped on it while he was eating at Valley Forge. And he had a lisp in his voice, too. And he always said, I want to thank God. He saved my soul and lifted my foot out of the miry clay and lifted me out of the miry clay and set my foot on a solid rock. That's what he always said. Always said it. I want to thank God he saved my soul and lifted me out of the miry clay and set my foot on a solid rock. And he's always the first one. I mean, any time we had testimonies, Elsie jumped up, we'd always, I will thank God he saved my soul and lifted me out of the mire and play and set my foot on a solid rock. One of these days, big, good-looking, wealthy fellow sang in the choir. We don't have any wealthy men in the choir here, or good-looking men in the choir. But anyway, big guy, he walked up to me and he said, Pastor, I've had enough of L.C. I've had enough of it. And I said, what do you mean? Why, he said, every time we have a testimony, he's a first guy, jumps up and starts it off. I thank God they my soul lifted me out of my clay and set my foot on a solid rock. He said, I'm fed up with it. It's embarrassing me. I bring my friends to church here, and they're educated people, and old L.C. gets up, and every time I thank the Lord they my soul lifted me out of my clay and set my foot on a solid rock. He said, I'm sick of it up to here. And I said, I am too. I am too. He said, you are? I said, yes, I am. And I said, I've been thinking of a way to stop it. And he said, what? And I said, next time, you beat him up. You get up first. Because the Bible doesn't say the poor lifted up their hands and said, amen, amen. Bible doesn't say the dumb lifted up their hands and said, amen, amen. Bible didn't say the illiterate lifted up their hands and said, amen, amen. The Bible said, and all the people lifted up their hands and said, amen, amen. Now, that's one reason why God doesn't express his love much to you. Because you don't praise him. You don't absorb his love. You don't thank him. Now there's a second thing. Whom does God love more than loves others? First, he loves those who absorb it most. Second, he loves those who are the most lovable. God wants you to be affectionate. Every once in a while, a couple will come to my office for counseling. And one or the other will say to me, I wish my wife or my husband were affectionate. I'm just the affectionate type, and my wife is not, or my husband is not. For the house, could do anything to make my wife or my husband affectionate. And the one that's not affectionate, one that is affectionate, just decide not to express it anymore. Why? It's falling on stony ground. And that's what God says. God said, I'll be affectionate to those who are affectionate to me. Now, the possession of God's love starts with him and spreads through us. The expression of God's love starts with us and spreads to him. So, I show him I love him. Well, I say many times a day, I look up to God and say, I love you. You're a wonderful God, and I love you with all of my heart. And that's why God's so good to me. That's why God expresses his love so much to me. God is dying to be affectionate, but God will not push his affection on somebody. You start the affection. God gives you love and then responds. Illustration. Don't you remember when the Bible calls the Apostle John the disciple whom Jesus loved? Well, didn't Jesus love Peter? Yes, he did. Didn't Jesus love Andrew? Yes, he did. Didn't Jesus love James? Yes, he did. Didn't Jesus love Philip? Yes, he did. Didn't Jesus love Bartholomew? Yes, he did. Didn't Jesus love the other disciples? Oh, yes, he did. But there was one disciple whom Jesus loved more than he loved all the disciples, and that disciple was called the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, does that mean that Jesus had more love for John than for Peter? No. It means he actively loved him more. He was more affectionate toward John than he was to Peter. Why? Because John leaned on his breast. Peter was always talking while John was always leaning. And so listen, you young people, you want your mother and dad to be more affectionate to you? You just walk up and put your head on daddy's shoulder sometime and say you're a great daddy, and you'll be surprised what that'll do for that old bearded guy. You'll be shocked. I'm saying that God is saying, I love some more than I love others. I don't possess more love, but I express more love. Why? Because they love me most. The possession of love starts with God, comes to me. The expression of love starts with me and goes to God. God will express His love to you. May I ask you a question? How long has it been since you told God you love Him? How long has it been? How long has it been since you had a little affectionate session with God? How long has it been since you went to a spiritual lover's lane with your God? You say, I'm not that type. Then that's why I'm preaching this sermon, to get you right with God. You can get forgiven for not being that type, like you can get forgiven for drunkenness and adultery and murder and cursing and lying and stealing. God says, I want your tender love and your tender affection. And He said, I'll give it to you in proportion as you give it to me. Don't you remember when Jesus came to Peter and said, Peter, lovest thou me? And Peter said, thou knowest I'm fond of you. And Jesus said the second time, Peter, lovest thou me? And Peter said, thou knowest I'm fond of you. And Jesus came the third time and said, lovest thou me? What was He trying to do? He was trying to draw Peter into a time of affection where Peter would express his deep, abiding love for Jesus, so Jesus in turn could respond and reciprocate and express His deep, abiding love for Peter. But the reason God doesn't send you any emotion is you don't send God any emotion. God is looking for a generation of people who want a God more than just for themselves. Did you know that there wasn't a generation of people one day that said, we need a God, let's make one? No, there was a God that needed a people and said, I'll make one. You were made for God, not God for you. The purpose of Christianity is not what God can do for you. The purpose of Christianity is what you can do for God. God needs you. God wants you. God needs your love. God wants your love. It's time that God's people got affectionate toward God. Jesus came. You remember that story when He was on the mount looking over the holy city. And if you've been to Jerusalem, it looks like that God has just taken a little city and tilted it so you can see it easier, like you'd take a plate like that. And you can't read the writing on the plate, so you tilt it sort of like that. And Jerusalem faces the Mount of Olives as if God had taken that city and tilted that city so you can see it easier. And Jesus, looking from the Mount of Olives, looked over the city of Jerusalem, and He said, Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee as a hen doth gather her chicks? Or maybe He was saying, as a mother eagle would gather her little eagles. How often would I have done it? But He said, but ye would not. He said, I would have brought you to my breast and hugged you, but ye would not. I would have actively shown my love for you, but ye would not. You remember the Lord's Prayer? We call it the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, what's the next line? Our Father which art in heaven, what's the next line? Hallowed be thy name. Say it. Hallowed be thy name. Now, our Lord is teaching us how to pray. He's going to tell us after a while to ask for our sins to be forgiven, ask for our daily bread, and so forth. But He starts off that prayer by saying, brag on me. He said, when you pray, look up to me and say, hallowed be thy name. Why? Because if you'll look to God in sincerity from your heart, say, I love you. I've said so often, I feel so sorry for God. God is hungry for loving. Did you ever love somebody and you were hungry for some expression of their love for you? And the expression of love was one-sided? Did you ever hurt right in here because you wanted somebody to express their love to you so you could express and interact and express your love to them? That's what God is saying. God is saying, I'm affectionate. I'm a loving God. I'm a tender. He's not some big God up there. Then the parents, okay, push this lever. Let's have some rain. And let's have some snow. And let's have some sunshine. And let's have some wind.
and we look up and say, come to church on Sunday morning, and we sing, holy, 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 blah, blah, blah.
No, God said, let's cuddle up. He said, let's be affectionate. He said, Jerusalem. He didn't say, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee if you would have chanted 75 times a ritual in a morning worship service? No. He said, I want to hug you. As a hen would gather her chicks, a tender, sweet affection. Sometime in the past I've told you this, but our daughters, all three of our married daughters, were home at the same time. Been 3 years ago, I guess. And I decided to take them all over to Rosalie's to buy them a new dress. And I wish I'd never done it. I got Larry Weller, our van driver, to drive us. And we had, in the van, there's a little sofa-like back in the back. And then up in front of that, there's a reclining chair. Then up in front, you got the two chairs, the driver and the seat beside him. So I was sitting in the middle chair, the reclining chair, of course, being as unselfish as I am. I was sitting in the reclining chair in the middle, facing the front of the van. And our three daughters, Becky, Linda, and Cindy, were sitting behind me. And we're going to Rosalie's over here in River Oaks to buy the girl's a dress. And Becky said, Daddy, and I said, what is it, Puddin'? And she said, isn't your hair getting thicker? And I said, well, I don't know. I mean, maybe, you know. And she said, it is, Daddy, it is. And Linda said, she's right, Daddy. She said, Daddy, you're wearing a toupee, aren't you? And I said, no, this is all mine. Both of them are mine. And Cindy got involved, and she said, oh, come on, Daddy. She said, you are the best-looking 57-year-old man in the world. And Becky said, you really are. And Linda said, you really are, Daddy. We've just been sitting back. I didn't know what they were doing to me. And she said, we've been sitting back here talking about how young you look. Daddy, you look younger than you looked 10 years ago. Thank you. A lot. Do you know what happened? Do you know 3 miserable hours later, I walked out of Rosalie's gift shop, $1,008 in debt? I bought every one of those girls 3 dresses. I bought shoes to match the dress and a purse to match the shoes and living room curtain to match the purse. I did not buy the curtains, but I bought the dresses, 3 dresses for each girl, 3 pair of shoes for each girl, 3 purses for each girl, walked out of there $1,000 in debt. Why? Because they thought my hair was getting thicker. At least they lied about it. That's what God is saying. God has said, I got so many things I want to give you, but he said, you won't get close enough to me. He said, you won't be affectionate. I love you. And I want to show it. But you got to start it. He said, I gave you my son on the cross. You haven't even thanked me for that but once every 6 months. You don't thank me for the rose of the dead but once every year. You don't thank me that I came to earth but once every December. You don't thank me once a year I came to the earth. And God says, I wish you would love me. He said, Peter, lovest thou me? Peter, lovest thou me? Peter, lovest thou me? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I wanted to hug you, but you wouldn't. I wanted to love you, but you wouldn't. And if you had of, I would. There's a closeness and a sweetness and a personal intimacy that you can have with God, but you're going to have to start it. He said, I love you because you love me. Tragic for God not to have affection. It really is. It's tragic for our wonderful God to go without feeling loved. In fact, I'll be honest with you, it almost breaks my heart to stop and realize that the great God who gave his son has to beg us to love him. It's ridiculous. It's absurd. It's foolish. Somehow we ought to cuddle up and say, oh, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the folly of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus 'tis now. And Jesus turns and says, I love you most. Why? Because you love me most. Now, it doesn't say I possess love according to your possession of love. I express love according to your expression of love. And I must quickly say this. Not only does he love most, those who absorb it most, and those who love are most lovable, he also loves most, those who trust him most. He said in our text a while ago, he said he loves those who believe that I came from him. He's saying he loves most the people who trust him most. Let's suppose that I'm facing a heartache or a burden, or suppose you are. And suppose I come to God and I say, God, I cannot see my hand in front of my face. I cannot see tomorrow. And I don't know how I can face tomorrow when it gets here. But God, I know you'll see me through. And God says, you bet I will. You just gave the passwords. You're a great God. I don't understand it. Oh, everything's falling apart. I'm just going to turn back and quit. God doesn't love you much. He has love for you, but he won't show it much. Ah, but you say, I do not know how I'm going to make it. But I know, God, you're a great and a wonderful God, and I love you, and I know you'll see me through. And God says, yes, I will. Yes, I will. Remember a little study we had a few times lately? We are created, Revelation 4:11 says, we are created to please God. Hebrews 11:6 tells us how to please God. It says faith pleases God, and faith is dependence upon God. And Romans 14:23 says, if we don't have faith, it's sin. So what does it do? It pleases God when we trust him and have faith. And God loves to be trusted. And God says, if you will absorb my love, I'll love you more than I love others. If you'll be lovable and affectionate to me, I'll be more lovable and I'll love you more actively than I love others. And if you'll trust me, I'll love you more. You wonder why. Somebody said, oh, Dr. Rice used to say, somehow I feel like I'm God's pet. Yeah, I think he was. Yeah, I think God did more for John Rice than did for most of us. But I wish you could have heard him when I did not know. He did not know I was listening. First night I ever stayed in a motel room with John Rice. We were together many years. First time I ever stayed in a motel room with him. I had to because I checked into Tampa, Florida, and the Howard Johnson's hotel there, and they said, we don't have a reservation for you. I said, yes, you do. No, we don't. Yes, you do. No, we don't. They won the argument. And I said, is John Rice here? Yes. Does he have two beds in his room? Yes. I said, let me have a key to his room. I can't do that. I said, trust me. I'm the best friend he's got. They gave me a key to his room. I went to his room, and time to go to bed. I thought I'd have to read the Bible 3 hours. In fact, I was dreading it a little bit, reading it 3 hours. I hate to say it, but I was, to be honest with you. But I just knew that great man of God read the Bible 3 hours before to bed and prayed another 2 hours and then slept 30 minutes. So I got my Bible out. What did Dr. Rice do? He went right straight to bed. He didn't read his Bible and didn't pray. Fluffed his pillow, leaned up, looked that way, and said, that's it. And was gone, just like that. Gone. There I was holding the Bible. I said, what'd you do? Close the Bible and went to bed. That's what I did. About 3 o'clock in the morning, I was awakened. And I heard some groanings. Oh, God. Oh, God. And I began to listen. And it was the old man, Dr. Ice. And I listened to him. Oh, God. I love you. Oh, God, thank you. Oh, praise you, your goodness. Oh, God, save my country. Oh, God, give me power. That's the reason. All God says this morning is, I want to love you. I want to pull you close to me, but you won't let me. You won't absorb it. You're not affectionate. You don't trust me enough. He's a wonderful God. I told him this morning, as I was driving around a little bit in some woods, I said, I love you. And you're my God. And you're a wonderful God. And He walked with me, and He talked with me, and He told me I was His own, and the joy we shared as we tarried there, none other has ever known. He loves you. He wants you. He has the reservoir of heaven's love all ready to pour in your direction. All He asks is for you to be affectionate. Father, bless the message this morning.